Today, as the first Sunday of each month, we practice the Lord's table, called communion. And we practice what is called an open communion. It is open to anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need not be a member of Trinity Bible Church to participate in this. But we indeed welcome anybody who is a believer in Jesus Christ to participate. Now, being a believer is the most important decision anybody will make. If we were to go back as far as we could possibly think, there's only two options. Either someone or something has always existed. And I personally have trouble believing that a rock could bring forth a conscious being. But I have no trouble believing a conscious being could bring forth a rock. Because God, all he ever does is ask us to take a step of faith. So if you accept the fact that there is a God, there are two things that are in each and every person. It says God has set eternity in the hearts of men, and we all know we're sinners. So every human being faces a problem. We're all sinners facing eternity. Every world religion believes that, with the exception of atheism. Because all are seeking to deal with the next life. They know that there is an issue of the next life, and they know that there is an issue of right and wrong, because God has established those in the hearts of men. Now, this only leaves two options. You're either going to find a way to save yourself, which is the world religions. All of them have a way to save. You can save yourself. Or you're going to have to give up trying to save yourself and find a Savior. Now, the world religions say save yourself. Christianity says you need a Savior. There is a Savior. There is one who is God who became man, not a man who became God. His name is Jesus. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He took your sins and His body on a cross, and He died. They placed Him in a tomb, and He rose on the third day, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And at the name of Jesus, one day every knee will bow. The sad part is for some it will be too late. And they will spend eternity in hell knowing how easy it would have been to not be there. But God said this is the way it is. He is the sovereign. He is the one that makes the laws and enforces them. He said, "You believe in My Son, you shall have eternal life. He who does not believe in the Son, the wrath of God abides on him." Now, it's pretty simple for me to make the choice. And when people hear the options, hopefully it's simple for them. But most of the world will say no to the good news of Jesus Christ, and that is sad. As believers, we have been bought, paid for with a price. We have been redeemed. The righteousness and justice of the Father has been satisfied. We who were once enemies are now children. Things have changed, and the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. What He has given to us, He won't take back, only by His goodness and His grace. We as believers sometimes head in the wrong direction. We sometimes make mistakes. We sometimes sin. If He says in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So believers need to know what is sin, and when they commit it, to confess it. But He also calls us to a life of submission. Till I am just the Lamb of God. The last line in that song. Till I am just a Lamb of God. We're priests unto God. And we are called to make sacrifices, not of bulls and goats, because none of those things could ever take away sins, but of ourselves. Not to take away our sin, but because our sins have been taken away. So we are called to make that sacrifice. And in this culture, in this society, what a mess we're in. It's all become about me. The big pyramid. I, me, mine, and myself. It's all about selfishness instead of selflessness. We're called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, who was humble. He left heaven for us. Who was sacrificial. Who gave himself up for us. That's the image that he's called us to be like. So sometimes things get in the way and we need an adjustment. And that's why he said, keep on doing this Lord's table in remembrance of me. As we look back to the last time we partook of the Lord's table and ask, have I grown any since then? Or have I headed in the other direction? It's a marker for us in time. It's a teaching aid. Saying, have I grown any? Am I making progress? It might be three steps forward and two steps back, but I'm still heading in the same direction. As long as it's not two steps forward and three steps back. But if it is, he says, it's okay. Fix your eyes on Jesus and get it all straightened out again. It's your course correction that you need. So the Lord's table is a time to analyze ourselves, to test ourselves, to see whether or not we're in the faith, so we don't partake in an unworthy manner. It is a time to make corrections to our life if need be. A time to renew our zeal and our energy, to kindle afresh the gift of God that is within us, to get the fire burning again. It's a time to think about and decide to do that. So we're going to take a few moments before we partake of the Lord's table to prepare ourselves. If you've come and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no time like the present to do that. And if you've come as a believer and you are headed in the right direction, give God the thanks and the grace. Okay, but don't think you stand lest you fall. And if you come and realize there are issues that need to be dealt with, now's the time to present them in front of the throne. You won't get them all ironed out during this quiet time. You won't get them all ironed out during the message that follows. But you have started and taken the right steps. So let's take this time for prayer to go in front of the throne of grace. Find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Let us pray. Father, how amazing is your love. It is so amazing. Your grace is so amazing. The life you've given us is so amazing. Your Son is so amazing. Father, we go on through the list and all we can say about you is how amazing you are, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. And Father, we stand amazed at your presence. So Father, as we come together today to participate in this ritual, I pray it will not be ritualistic, but it will be a reminder and a memorial to what our Lord Jesus Christ did in our place on a cross. Father, I pray that our relationship with Him would be renewed and it would be strengthened, and Father, that it would be caused to grow. We thank you and we come in front of you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's table consists of two things. It is the bread and the cup. The bread is unleavened bread. It is taken from one of the feasts of Israel, and it means because leaven connotes evil in Scripture, and in Christ is no evil at all. So the unleavened bread is a picture of the perfect sacrifice that had to come along. The Lord was the last Adam. The first Adam sinned. The last Adam did not sin. And to me, that's truly amazing. More amazing than being born of a virgin is the fact that he lived a perfect life without sin. And this bread is this picture. It is without leaven, meaning without sin. He was born of a virgin. He didn't have the sin of Adam given to him. And he committed no personal sin whatsoever in his life. So the bread is the picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we pass out the bread, it is our custom to all partake of the bread together, but it's also our custom to think about the Lord Himself as He walked the earth. You might think about something special to you. Maybe healing the sick. Maybe casting out demons. It may be any number of things. That what He did while He was here on this earth, withstanding all of the pressures from His countrymen, from His disciples, from His family, from everywhere we could imagine, from Satan himself, and yet without sin. So as we pass this bread out, let us think about the perfection of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, took the bread, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Keep on doing this in remembrance of me." Let's eat. While the bread is the picture of His person, the cup is a picture of His work. It was a cup only He could drink. His disciples arrogantly thought they could drink of it, and He said, "You can't do it." It's a cup that only He could drink, because He was the only one perfect. This cup was taken from the Passover meal. It's a cup of blessing and cursing, because what He was going to do was become a curse for us. He who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. So it's a curse and a blessing. He underwent the curse placed on Adam, as we saw this morning, that thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. That's what the land will do as a result of Adam's fall. When the crown of thorns is placed upon the Lord's head, then that's a picture of the imputation of sin and all of its forms being made to Him. So there is nothing now that will stand between us and God. Whenever He went to the cross, all He talked about was relationships. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's about relationship. Whenever the man on the cross next to Him asked Him to remember him when He came into His kingdom, that's an interesting statement for a man on a cross. But He said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." That's about relationship once again. He looked at John and He said, "Behold your mother, take care of mom." And He looked at his mom and said, "Behold your son." He came to redeem a broken relationship. A relationship, the biggest one that really matters between mankind and God. He said, "I'll pay the penalty for sin. I will bear it myself." So that you can have a relationship with the one I call Daddy. The cross is the focal point of all history, angelic, human history, everything. Because right then, all of our sins were poured out on Him. "My God, why have you forsaken me?" It's about you and I. Then He said, "It is finished." That means the payment for sin was over and done with, completed forevermore. That's the cup. His infinite nature knew you when He was there. We didn't somehow escape His notice. And it was for all the other sinners that He was dying for. He knew who we were and what we would do. And He still chose to bear our sins. This is indeed a love so amazing, so divine, it demands my all in return. So as we take of the cup, again, it's not just a little bit of juice. It's about something much more far-reaching than that, that sent shockwaves throughout the universe and beyond when He said, "It is finished." So let us approach it with the appropriate reverence and awe of what it represents. Larry, would you bless the cup, sir? He took the cup after supper. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes back again. Let us drink. And they all sang a hymn.